Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the hot new Q. QLJNRadio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.
All right, well, it's another live Monday. You have tuned in to QLJNRadio.com, the final authority. Well, the final authority, we air live every Monday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, unless otherwise indicated. What we're going to do is we're going to take our time and you know, continue in the vein of dealing with the question, can one be saved apart from Christ? And so this is part two. And so before we go into that, we'll give you a word of prayer. We'll pray, and then we'll go and give you the number so you can call in just in case you have a question or a comment. So because we only have so much time, I'm going to get right into it. I'm going to pray immediately. Holy Father, we come before you in the holy majestic name of our beloved Son, Yeshua, the biblical Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Father, we acknowledge you as our God, Father, source, provider, and giver of life. Father, we give you glory because you love us and you called us and you chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. You set us apart and you sealed us with your spirit. We thank you, oh God, because we have your spirit inside of us, dwelling in us, living in us, empowering us, and guiding us. We thank you and we give you glory, Father. I acknowledge your beloved Son, Jesus the Christ, as my Lord, Savior, and Redeemer, for he has redeemed me to you by his blood, by what he has accomplished for me on that cross. And I thank you, Father, that not only did he die for my sins and shed his blood, but he rose again the third day for my justification, and he is alive forevermore. And I look to you, Father, and I thank you and give you glory. For those who tune in to the program, I'm asking, oh God, that you grant unto all of us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of your beloved Son, Yeshua the Christ, and in the knowledge of the Holy Scriptures. I pray, O God, your word would increase and abound and multiply in us and through us to and for the glorification and the exaltation of the name of our Son, Jesus the Christ. Open our eyes that we may see, Father, and behold the truth that you have revealed to us in your word. Open our understanding that we might truly understand the Scriptures and that we might conform to the word and not to the world system. Thank you and praise you and give you glory. In the holy majestic name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray, so be it, and amen. Okay, all right, well, this is the host, Everett Robinson. Again, the show is called The Final Authority. And what we're doing is we're dealing with this question in light of the biblical perspective, okay? And we are well aware of there's a number of various kinds of denominational organizations, institutions, different religious beliefs, or what have you, and everyone is entitled to choose to believe what they choose to believe. However, I say final authority because we're resting our faith totally and exclusively upon the authority and revelation of the Holy Scriptures, which is, we believe, to be God's word to us. And the Bible was written by holy men. The word holy means set apart, consecrated, and dedicated. These men were holy men, set apart, consecrated, and dedicated to the glory of God. And God has put his word in them. And they have uttered the word and pinned down that word. And so we look at the scriptures as God's final authority. So it's not based upon my emotions, my feelings, my opinions, or any other church's opinion. We're going to look at what does the word actually say about this question, can one be saved apart from Christ? And what does it mean to be saved? And who is this Christ? And then the other question came up, what about those who never heard about Christ, who never heard the name Jesus? or in Hebrew, Yeshua, or in Greek, Jesus, or in Arabic, Issa, or in English, Jesus, or in Spanish, Jesus, or whatever. Okay, well, we're dealing with the biblical Messiah, which is who is this Messiah? So we'll deal with that. And I will do a recap of what we covered on the week before, because last week there was a holiday, so we'll skip that particular day, and we're now back here live on Monday. Okay, so also I might want to mention, because I never asked for any type of donation or anything, I was asked a question about, well, how can, if we want to donate, how can we donate if we want to donate to the program to support the final authority? Well, I do want you to know right off top, whatever you, and if you do donate, whatever you donate, none of that money go to me, to my pocket. Now, that's not for me. It's for the support of the ministry, okay, of this final authority program, okay? And if you desire to give, you just go to QOJNradio.com, scroll down, and you see the donation button. And when you donate, if in fact you choose to, because you're not under any compulsion or any pressure to do so, I don't promise no special blessing because you're going to give to this ministry at all, plant the seed here, and God's going to meet your need there. I'm not going to do that, all right? If you choose to give freely because you believe this has value and you benefit from it and it's blessing you, it's edifying you, it's encouraging you and uplifting you, and you desire to give, well, just go to QLJNradio.com, scroll down to the donation button, and be sure when you donate, just put this donation is for the final authority. And they will then transfer that for that particular program, and you support that program, the final authority. And I just want to thank you in advance for those who do give. Thank you so much. You're not obligated, but if you can give, it's accepted. Thank you so kindly. All right, now, so can one be saved apart from Christ? That's a real good question. What does it mean to be saved? We'll deal with that. But there are people who teach that you can't be saved apart from their church or being a part of their ministry or a part of their religious institution or organization. Well, what you going to do when your religious institution and organization was even during the time of Christ the Messiah and the apostles, and people were saved then? On the day of Pentecost, Peter preached, as recorded in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, and 3,000 souls were saved. That's the word. 3,000 souls were saved. And your denomination wasn't there. Your religious institution wasn't there. So how did they get saved? We'll talk about that. So can one be saved apart from Christ? Now, saved. Saved from what? Saved to what? Well, we share with you that the word saved comes from a Greek word, which means delivered. It's from the same word for deliverance. Delivered or saved from what? Well, it means delivered from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, and the penalty of sin. And we also share with you that the word saved, not only does it encompasses being forgiven of all your sins, because we all have sinned, we all have went against God's word, God's order, God's law, all right, sin, all right? So we have sinned against holy God. And the law of God says the soul that sins, it shall die, for the wages of sin is death. That's the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23. The wages or the payment for sin is death. Death means separation from. So God, who is holy, God who is righteous, God who is perfect, God who is all-powerful, God who is everywhere at one and the same time, God who knows all things and there's not anything he does not know and nothing he has to discover, God who is all-wise, who never made a wrong judgment, he as a righteous judge of the earth, he will always do right, but he always condemns sin. So sin is under the condemnation of God. So because we are sinful criminals, if you will, we have sinned, we have offended the law of God, then we're guilty in God's court of law, and the law of God says death, separation, death means separation from. That's what death is, a separation from. So you have physical death, which is the separation of your spirit from your body. That is separation, all right? I've had loved ones. I've had my own father, my own brother, my grandmother, my auntie, and uncles, and I had friends who have passed on. And I don't have any fellowship or communication with them because they are gone. They are separated from me. All right? That's called separation from. So they died. They're physically dead. All right? That's separation from. So then you also have what's called spiritual death. Spiritual death from a biblical perspective, that's the term we use, spiritual death. And that has to do with the fact that one is alienated and or separated from God. They don't have a union with God. They don't have a relationship. It's a separated. It's dead. For an example, let's say for an example, you may have been in a relationship, and that relationship came to a close. Is now dead. There's a separation from. Okay, so there's no union in that because that relationship came to a death. It's dead. Okay, so when we do a spiritual death, we're dealing with an alienation and or a separation from God. You have people that are nice people, pleasant people, good personality, and so on. But apart from, as we covered before, Christ Jesus, we shared with you in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, which says there is one God and one mediator between God and men. So from a biblical perspective, there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So Jesus Christ, according to the authority of the Holy Scriptures, is the one mediator between God and the human race. A mediator is one who stands between two parties to make peace between the parties and or reconciliation. And apart from the mediator, there is no peace or no reconciliation. There is alienation or separation. Okay? So apart from Christ, from a biblical standpoint, we are what is called spiritually dead, alienated, and separated from God. That's the biblical perspective. Okay? So, now, so being saved, getting back to the word saved, delivered from the power, the guilt, and the penalty of sin. All right? Being saved, it includes the forgiveness of sins. It includes the fact that you are reconciled to God. It includes the fact that you've been redeemed to God. It is all solely based upon what Jesus Christ, the unique begotten Son of God, has done for you on the cross. All right? So we share with you, apart from Christ, that one cannot be saved apart from Christ. I'm not talking about a person being religious, going to church, or may not go to church. A person being nice and pleasant, do good works, what we call good works. All right? Those things are not what save a person. Because if I'm guilty of sin, the law of God says I must be judged and condemned to separation from God, because God, who is holy, cannot fellowship with sin. As a righteous God and a righteous judge, he must condemn sin. So apart from Christ, from a biblical standpoint, one cannot be delivered from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, and the penalty of sin. Why? Well, why is that? Because we share with you in the book of Romans that Jesus Christ was the one that had laid his life down, and he had became, as the King James Version uses the term, propitiation. All right? The word propitiation is a big word, not a common word that's used, but it simply means satisfaction. What it encompasses is the fact that Jesus Christ knew that you were guilty of sin. And what the Holy Father God did was, Son, I am going to cause you to go into the earth, and you're going to be conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of a virgin, and you're going to take upon human flesh, and you're going to walk the earth in perfect obedience to me. And, Son, instead of me condemning man, which I have a right to do, I am going to place the sin of man upon you on that cross, and you are going to take the wrath for man. You're going to satisfy the demands of divine justice. And son, I am not going to relent and hold back my judgment when I judge you for Everett's sin. And you're going to satisfy that judgment. And son, not only are you going to die for Everett's sin, but you're going to shed all your blood for him. And by that sacrificial substitutionary, we did the death and shed blood, you're going to redeem him back to me. And son, you're going to be buried the third day. I promise, my son, I will raise you from among the dead for Everett's justification. And after I raise you from the dead for a period of 40 days, you're going to give demonstrable evidences of your resurrection, son. After which, I'm going to raise you back up into the heaven. So, Jesus Christ, because he took the wrath for me in my place, he satisfied the divine judgment and wrath of God for me. Now, I hear the good news about what Christ has done for me. And I then come to faith and trust in what he has done for me. And from a biblical perspective, when you hear the good news about what Christ, the Messiah, has done for you through having taken the rap for you for your sins and was judged in your place and suffered the judgment of God and died for your sins and shed his blood for you, was buried for you, and rose again from among the dead, and he is literally, physically alive forevermore, but he's now in a resurrected, glorified body in heaven, and you say, Lord Jesus, I believe on you with all my heart. I trust the fact that you died for my sins and shed your blood for me, was buried and rose again, and I in my heart believe on you, and I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. When you do that from the heart, it has to be a reality in your heart. It is Christ that washes you from all of your sins, and he robes you in his righteousness. You see, he was perfectly righteous. Jesus Christ perfectly honored and pleased his Father. The Father was well pleased with the Son. And he's perfectly righteous, so his righteousness is now credited to you. And now that you are joined to Christ, clothed in his righteousness, washed from all your sins, Christ then brings you in God's court of law, and the Father God says, because you, Everett, have placed faith and trusted in my son's sacrifice, and that he died for your sins and shed his blood for you, was buried and rose again from among the dead for you, and you have come to repentance in your heart. That is a change of heart to now turn to faith and trust in my son. And the fact that my son has washed you from all your sins and robed you in his righteousness, and now that you are joined to my son by the Spirit in my court of law, you are acquitted. I acquit you, and you are declared righteous by the righteousness of my son that's credited to you. And you are saved by my grace. See, that's what it means. So in other words, Christ took my guilt and suffered my penalty for me. You see, I work in the juvenile system, and I work with a lot of kids and adults also in adult jails. But nevertheless, I talk to some of these young men who have confided and shared with me that they have taken the rap for somebody else, and that they are now alienated and separated from society and from their families and from their parents because they are now in custody behind bars, but someone else had committed the crime, and the person that committed the crime is the guilty one, but now they take the rap as though they are the guilty one, but though they were the innocent one, and they take the rap upon themselves, and now they're suffering alienation and separation and incarceration because they take the rap for somebody else, and so now the law is being satisfied. The person that committed the crime is free. They are there in society. Well, I use that as a case in point to show you that because Jesus Christ took the wrath for us and came in custody to be judged and then now was condemned and all your sins was condemned upon Christ on the rugged cross, that Jesus the Messiah satisfied the divine wrath and judgment of God for me. And now that he did that and shed all of his blood for us, I am delivered from the guilt of sin because he took my guilt and suffered in my place. The just for the unjust, the Bible says. And so now I have his righteousness. All right, so I'm delivered from the guilt of sin, the power of sin. That means sin no longer lords over my life. It no longer exercises that kind of dominion because that dominion is broken because my relationship with the old sinful lifestyle has been totally severed. It's dead now, positionally. Okay, it doesn't mean I will never, ever be tempted because I am. It never means that I never sin because there are times I do. But I know that I can go to God and say, Lord, I confess my sin. I messed up. I had, you know, these thoughts I was wrong, these things I said, some my ideas, some I was supposed to do that I didn't do. I neglected a responsibility or commitment to do something. So I go to God, all right? But here's the thing. My faith is solely rested upon Jesus Christ. So I'm saved because of what Christ done, so I'm joined to Christ. Now, we'll deal with those who never heard about Christ, but I just want to deal with those who heard about Christ. Now, one of the things that we did share with you is that in, let me do this real quickly. I forgot to give the number. If you have a question or you want to make a comment or express a different view, you can do that. Make sure you call 515, that's the area code, 515-605-9768. Area code 515-605-9768. Once you dial that number and you are connected, at any point you want to ask your question, press the number 1 on your phone, and then my producer will then connect you to my line, and I will welcome you to the final authority to ask your question, make your statement, or express your view. Okay? All right. Now, so we went over 1 Timothy chapter 2, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We also shared with you out of St. John chapter 3, verse 16, which is a very powerful text that packed with so much meaning. And this one has been quoted so many times since I was a little kid. I've heard this. St. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that is to trust and adhere to and Jesus Christ, should not perish but have everlasting life. Wow. So, believing on the uniquely begotten Son of God. Why? Because it was the Father that sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. All right? So we went over that also on last week, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. So there is no church that's the Savior of the world. There's no bishop, no pope, no evangelist, no cardinal, no priest. It is the unique begotten Son of God. So your faith must be in the person of Jesus Christ, trusting what he done, and that would he be able sufficient to satisfy the judgment of God. So we call it the sufficiency of the work of Christ, that what he did was sufficient for me. There's nothing I can add to it at all. All right? So rest in my faith solely and completely, exclusively upon what Jesus Christ has done for me. Now, we also went over Romans chapter 1, verse 16, where Paul writing to believers in Rome. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, Paul preached the gospel in Rome. He went and made the message of the gospel known. The gospel means good news. So the good news about what Jesus Christ had done. All right, he says the gospel of Christ is the power of God resulting in salvation. That is deliverance from the guilt, the power, and the penalty of sin. In God's court of law, what delivers you from guilt of sin, the power of sin, and the penalty of sin? It's only what Christ has done for you. It's not because you, and you might be very, very, I meet a lot of good people, just nice people. I got friends that are nice. But see, from a biblical perspective, the only thing that saves you from alienation and separation from God, to be condemned for eternity, alienated from God, from a biblical perspective, is the fact that you hear the good news about Jesus Christ and choose to reject God's offer of salvation to you. All right? So, again, it's not about a church, a religion, a temple, a mosque, or a synagogue. It's about what God has instituted and established and the terms that he has clearly made known for one to be saved. So it is basically everything from God. The word is the final authority. It's so basic and simple, I should say, the simplicity of the gospel is very basic. It's not hard. It's not difficult. So the biblical perspective is that one is only saved by God's grace through faith in Christ. Simple. So again, not about a church, not about a temple, not about a mosque, not about a synagogue. Do you know the beloved Son of God, and have you rested your faith upon God's Son who laid his life down for you on a rugged cross? Christ died for the sins of the world. That's the Bible. And when you hear the good news, all right, and you come to faith and trust in that, you experience salvation. So one other passage in Romans 6:23, the whole verse is, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's a gift. It's God's gift to you. So God's gift is through Jesus Christ. It's not based upon how good you could be, and you ought to be good. It's not about how many good works you have done or will do, and you should do those things when you can. But have you come to a true, genuine faith in Jesus Christ and accept God's gift to you is the gift of eternal life? That is salvation. So included in salvation is this gift that's given by just simply believing in your heart on all that Jesus Christ has done for you through his death for your sins, the shedding of his blood, his burial, and his resurrection. This is known as. Now, we also share with you also in Ephesians chapter 1. All right, so if you don't have a Bible, you can just write the verse down. But in Ephesians chapter 1, we'll just read verse 13. All right? Now, so in Ephesians 1, verse 13, Paul here is writing to the believers in Ephesus, and he is sharing with them about Christ. And the first two words of verse 13 is in whom. The in whom refers back to the person of Jesus Christ. So in whom you also trusted. Come on, you trusted in Christ. Why? He preached to them, and they trusted in the good news about Christ, what he'd done for them, as Paul preached it. In whom you also trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel or good news of your salvation, in whom, in Christ, also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Why? God promised that he's going to seal every person that believes the good news that Jesus Christ has died for their sins and shed his blood for them, was buried, and rose again for their justification. God is going to seal you as his very own. So, Moses says, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and also after that you believed, you were sealed. After you believed what? The good news of your salvation. You heard the message that was proclaimed about Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about you heard a message about religion or denomination. I'm talking about the pure, unadulterated message of the gospel. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. See, so this is a spiritual transaction. When you believe the gospel, God sealed you with the Holy Spirit. So I am sealed and stamped, as it were, as one who belongs to God for time and eternity. I wasn't sealed because I prayed or because I read the Bible or because I did a spiritual fast or because I went to a church and I got baptized and I joined classes and I done good works and I give to the poor. I was sealed because I believe. The point being, you have to have your faith centered upon Christ and nothing else. So I believe the final authority of what Scripture says, that after I heard the word of truth, the good news of my salvation in Christ, after that I truly do believe that Jesus is the unique begotten Son of God. I truly believe that he willingly laid his life down for me on the cross and tasted death for my sins, and that all his blood was shed and he was buried and rose again from among the dead, and that he's alive forevermore. Man, he is truly alive right now. It's just the fact that he had ascended up to heaven according to the biblical account. And so there's nothing too hard for God. He was conceived by the Spirit in the womb of a virgin and took upon human flesh. And in that fleshly body, after he rose from the dead, he ultimately, in that same body, went back up to heaven. That's the biblical account. I accept what the Word says, because the Word is the final authority. So what I'm doing is giving you the biblical perspective, that once you have heard the word of truth and once you heard the good news of your salvation about what Christ done, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So we're dealing with that. So can one be saved apart from Christ? Well, once you come to the knowledge of God's offer of salvation to you in light of what Christ has done, and you reject God's offer, and that's the only offer of salvation, and there's absolutely no other way, then apart from Christ, no, you can't be saved. You can't be delivered from the guilt of sin, the power of sin, and the penalty of sin. You can't be regenerated by the Holy Spirit. You can't be reconciled to God and sealed with the Spirit apart from Christ. That is the faith of Christ. That is encompassing all that Christ has done. So, no, once you come to that light, God holds you accountable to that light. I will deal with those who have not heard, because God will deal with them on a different level, if you would. All right? See, because God is always just and right. He's going to deal with you based upon what light you have received. And so those who never heard about Christ, what's going to happen to them? All right? I will deal with that. But I want to deal with you who have heard. You are accountable. Because once you heard the word of truth, to whom much is given, much is required. We got a break. Stay tuned in a couple of minutes, and we'll be right back after the break. See you after the break. Stay tuned in to the final authority. Okay, well, that was Hezekiah Walker. Oh, Lord, we praise you. Again, that was by Hezekiah Walker. Thank you for being tuned in to the Final Authority. Okay, let me finish in the vein. Let me mention again, if you have a question or a comment, the area code to call is 515-605-9768. Once you dial that number, anytime you want to ask that question, press the number one on your phone. That'll connect you to my producer. My producer will connect you to my line. I will welcome you to the Final Authority. Okay, so I'm going to take you to St. John chapter 12. In St. John chapter 12, I'm going to read what Jesus said in verse 46. I am come a light into the world, and whoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. So from a biblical perspective, based upon the words of Christ, you're either in the light or in darkness, one or the other. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me shall not abide in darkness. Why? He's bringing light. He's opening the eye. He's giving revelation. And if any man hear my words, this is what he says in verse 47, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receive not my words, have one that judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father, which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. So this is why Jesus is called the Word of God. Why? Because whatever God wills to be said, it is Christ who speaks it. He's called the Logos, the living word of God. He speaks only the very heart and mind of the Father. And so notice what he says in verse 48, he that rejecteth me. Well, you can't reject him if you don't know nothing about him. So he's not dealing with those who don't know. He that rejects me and receive not my words has one that judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So when a person hears the Messiah, and the Messiah speaks his words, we deal with Jesus doing his earthly ministry. This is prior to his death, burial, and resurrection. He's speaking to a number of Jews. And he is speaking to them that he is light that's coming to the world. And he's the fulfillment of what the Old Testament prophets have spoken. Christ has fulfilled those things in his earthly ministry. And so he brought light. And he said, he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judge him, the word that I have spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. Wow. So once a person truly hears from the unique begotten Son of God, and that person rejects Christ and does not receive his word, that is his teaching, okay? The last day, what are you dealing with? At that last judgment, there's a coming day of judgment. The word that was spoken, that person had the light of Christ and chose to make a conscious decision to reject Christ and his message. He's going to be judged based on that. So you're not going to be based upon your ignorance if you have heard. And so now we have forwarding to after the death, the shed blood, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Christ had commissioned his apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And so then we see that we are to share the gospel message. So the gospel message goes out. And so we are what is called ambassadors for Christ. So we share the message of Christ with the people. You don't force this. I believe you live this. You be gracious. You be kind. When God opens the door for you to utter and share the gospel, you do that. You share the good news of the gospel with people. And I think you should do it in the right spirit, in the loving spirit. And so don't go and try to force nobody, force it on nobody, attack nobody. You be very gracious and you're led by the Spirit of God, because God loves people. And the Spirit of God will lead you to love people and speak in a loving way. And the Spirit of God, when you speak the truth of the word, the message of the gospel, it's the Spirit of God that will convict their heart and will deal with them about the light of what you're sharing, the light of Christ. It's up to them to receive. A person may not receive it at one point and later down the road receive it. But either way it goes, you need to be as gracious as you can. This is called the gospel of the grace of God. So, here, once a person comes to the light of the knowledge of Christ, and if the Holy Spirit convicts them, that means bring them under a convicting of the reality of Jesus Christ, and they hear that, that person will either receive Christ or reject Christ, or they'll suppress the light of Christ. All right, for a person to, no matter what, if they suppress it, or still classify it as a rejection, you choose not to accept God's offer of salvation and the light of Christ, you are held responsible. And you can't stand before God and say, I don't know, because the word that you hear will judge you in the last day, and you'll be held accountable. Now, a person who never heard about Christ, God deal with them on a whole different level. Whole different level. All right? And I'm going to give you an example of something. You know, down within man, God says, I will write my laws in their hearts. And even if you, or if a person in a remote part of the world never heard the message of the gospel, there's something down in them that knows right from wrong. Wow. That knows right from wrong. And God's going to deal with them based upon what light he has given them. You may have more light than someone else, but God holds you to a higher standard based upon your knowledge and understanding of the light that he has revealed to you. And God knows just exactly what he revealed to you. But Christ has died for the sins of the world. Jesus Christ is the absolute one and only mediator. And apart from Christ, one can't experience biblical salvation. But so then how will God deal with those who don't know Christ? Well, we'll deal with that. All right, so in Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. All right? So, hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So why are they suppressing the truth? Because, verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Wow. God has given them light. God has given them some truth. And God has made it known to them in their heart. So watch this. For the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even God's eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. All right? Now, what is this saying? When God gives you light, he knows what light you have of what he communicated to you. Whether you call him a higher power, supreme being, creator, he knows what life that you have about him, even if you never heard the name Christ or Jesus or heard the gospel. So God is not going to allow you to go through life without light. God's going to give you some light. Now, but here it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Did you not know that the creation, that you can see God's signature, the Almighty Creator's signature through the sun, the moon, the stars, looking at the galaxies? I created that. You know, they got to be a supreme being. That comes by a what is called by design. That's not by mistake. That's not just by chance. It didn't just pop out there. It's God spoke these things into existence. There is a creator. And so on the inside, you have a sense of a supreme being, a higher power, whatever term you may use. So here, God has revealed things to you, something down in there. And so God has written laws in your heart. So you have something about a sense of the reality of God. Now, you might suppress it because it says that they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Why? It says because men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Wow. So I have to understand that God will deal with you on what light is giving you. Now, we do have a case of a man in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, named Cornelius. Cornelius, as far as we can see, he was a man that gave alms. He done good deeds, if you would. We call that good deeds. He prayed, and he believed in a supreme being, but he had not heard about Jesus. And the Bible says that his prayers had came up to God as a memorial. God heard his prayers, but he had not heard about Jesus. So he was walking in the light of what God had put in his heart. So in his heart, he knew that there was a supreme being, there was a God, but to know him more fully, he didn't know because he only had whatever light he had and was walking in that light, whatever light of law God put in his heart, he was walking in that. And so God sovereignly had chosen to send an angel to Cornelius and tell Cornelius, hey, go send three men to Joppa. There's a man by the name of Peter who was one of the apostles of Christ. And tell Peter to come here. He's going to tell you some words, some good news where you can hear a message. And so, fast forwarding, Peter arrives there. He sees a household of Gentiles, all these people in Cornelius' house. And he began to share the message of Christ with them. Now, Cornelius was walking in the light of what God had gave him. Whenever you walk in what light God gives you, God will bring more light. He's going to bring more light. So now he's bringing the true light of Christ. Now, but this man was amazing because Cornelius, he knew God, but he had not known Jesus yet. But he's walking in what light he did have. He didn't reject the light of God. He feared God, the Bible says, okay? But he didn't know Christ. So ultimately, Peter comes and he begins to share the message with Cornelius. He said, I perceive God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that fears God and works righteousness is accepted with him. What is he saying? I see that God had accepted you. I see that you was of another nation and God was dealing with you based upon what knowledge you had of him. And then Peter began to share with him about Christ. And so because Cornelius was walking in the light of what light God gave him, and he knew that God was bringing more light, and so when Peter preached the gospel of Christ and the light of Christ shined in his heart, he then embraced a full light of Christ and experienced God's power resulting in salvation. So that's the blessing. So Cornelius was without excuse. If he never heard about Jesus, he still was without excuse because he already had a fear of God. But even in that, he feared God, was honored God. Okay? But what would happen to Cornelius if he were to die without having heard Christ? Well, God heard his prayers and he offered up before God because he's walking in the life of the biblical God, the Almighty God, the living true God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, known as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, known in the New Testament as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God will deal with people differently. I don't believe a person can be saved apart from Christ, because I believe that if a person is walking in what light God give them, God will bring and can bring more light to that person. But the main thing is this. What light you have received, have you heard the light of Christ? You are responsible and accountable before God. You will be without excuse. So it's very important to understand that God is not going to condemn those who never heard about Christ. He's going to judge them based upon what they do know about himself. And the Bible does say that Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not for us only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So a person who's walking in what light God gave them, and they haven't heard about Christ, and they hear about Christ, man, they're covered by what Christ done on the cross. Wow. Now, a person, again, I'll make it very clear, that hears the gospel message of Christ, and they reject God's offer of salvation through having a true, genuine, authentic faith and trust and dependence upon Christ and what Christ has done. You have rejected God's offer of salvation. You cannot be saved apart from a true genuine faith in Christ. You rejected God's offer. Outside of God's offer through faith in Christ, there is no hope of salvation for you. That's the biblical perspective. It's not something I came up with or I made up. It's not about my opinion. It's about what God's word says. Now, you might have a different opinion, might have a different view. That's fine. But I'd rather stick with what God's word say. I'd rather agree with God. All right? I will always agree with God because he is always right. Even when I don't always understand things and comprehend things, I just realize this. I only know in part. Okay? I only know in part. God, he knows everything. There's not anything he does not know. Nothing he has to discover, learn at all, because he's all-knowing. He's everywhere at one and the same time, which means there is no place where he's not. The Bible says he beholds the good and the evil. God sees it all. Ultimately, there's coming a day and time in which man will give an account, and there's going to be a final judgment. So no one gets away with anything. So God knows what light you have. And so God's going to always be just and right. Every judgment he makes is going to be right, holy, and just. And whenever he makes, whatever judgment he makes, you're going to come to terms with God and say, you know, I can't fight. You're right. And you accept whatever judgment that God will make. Now, again, I don't fully understand everything, but I do my research and know enough of what the words say. And the Bible says very clearly, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I'm saved by God's grace. God's offering me salvation by his grace. I can't earn this. It's not by my works. It's not by my deeds. It's not by what church I go to, by any good deed I do. But it's all by faith. Faith in what? Faith in whom? Well, the context is very clear. Faith in what Christ has done by virtue of the fact that he died for your sins, that he shed his blood for you, that he was buried and rose again for you. So I'm saved only by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. So those who have not heard, again, God will deal with them on a different level. To whom much is given is much required. Those who haven't heard, God don't require them of the same right that you have if they never heard. So keep now, see, when I was younger, I thought that anybody that didn't know about Christ and they died in their faith, it was automatically doomed. No, well, no, not necessarily. I matured in my understanding, and I began to search the scriptures more where this area is concerned. God will deal with you differently. And if, in fact, you have rejected the light God gives you, even though you never heard of Christ, you definitely will be alienated from God. That is spiritually dead and separated from God for time and eternity. So, when you walk in that light, the light that God gives you, man, God is seeking to give you more light. Let me take you to 2 Peter chapter 1. And I know I'll be closing out. I've only got less than 5 minutes left, but let me try to close this out here. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, Peter says, For we have not followed cunningly devised fables, made up stories, myths, all right? When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. So you know, he's saying that we are eyewitnesses of the earthly ministry of Christ. We saw the majesty and the glory of Christ. For he, Christ, received from God the Father honor and glory when there came to him such a voice from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard, we were with him in the Holy Mount. Apostle Peter is saying that we were witnesses of the earthly ministry of Christ. We were on the mountain with Christ. We saw the glory of Christ, the majesty of Christ. We heard a voice come from heaven, the voice of God the Father speaking, "This is his beloved Son." We are witnesses. All right. Then he says, we have also, now watch this, a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, with light you have, take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. What he's saying, you just take heed to what light God given you. You do that. You take heed. You do well to take heed to that light. Don't reject it. Don't put it aside. Don't suppress it. Take heed to what's in your heart. You might not know all the laws of God. I don't know all of them myself. But whatever God put in your heart, you follow that. When you go against the moral law that God put in your heart, you're violating the law of God that he wrote in your heart. And he knows that you know what you know that he wrote in your heart. You might not attribute it always to God, but you know something in your heart. This is the right thing to do. That's the wrong thing to do. It's down in the heart. But you're walking with light you have. So it says, take heed to that light as unto a light that shines in a dark place. You may have a little light and be in a dark place, but you're taking heed to that light. Then he says, you take heed to that light. Then he says, you do that until the day dawn. That's the dawning of the day. And the day star arise in your heart. Why? God's going to give you a full light. The light of Christ. That's what we're talking about. So then he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So we see very clearly, this scripture is not a result of man's will. I'm going to write a Bible. I'm going to take a Bible. I'm going to just come up with a religion. No. He said, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So God's Holy Spirit moved upon the heart of men that were holy and set apart and consecrated to and for the glory of Christ. And these men were set apart, and God moved upon their heart to speak his word and write it. And so now we have the written word of God. All right? This is the final authority. I'm not the final authority. My feelings not. All right. I may not always see eye to eye with God. It's okay, because I know one thing, that he's always right. Lord, open my eyes and give me understanding. Well, we're going to close in a moment. I want to welcome you to the Will of God Christian Center. We have a ministry in Vallejo called the Will of God Christian Center, located on 419 Georgia Street, suite number 12. Services are every Sunday at 11:30 a.m. That's every Sunday. Tuesday evenings we have prayer from 6 to 6:30, and then 6:30 to 7:15 we have the Ministry of the Word teaching Bible study. That's on Tuesday. Then we have intercessory prayer from 6 to 7 on Wednesdays. Again, the Will of God Christian Center, Vallejo, California. Well, we have to close out. Keep your head up. Stay tuned in to the Final Authority, and we'll be closing on part 3 next week. God bless you. Grace, peace, and many blessings. See you next week.
Listening to the hot new Q. QLJNradio.com. Still the hottest, coolest radio station on the net. With award-winning talk show personalities and DJs. The Q.